Chapter 58. This chapter describes how Lord Krishna married five brides, beginning with Kalindi, and then went to Indraprastha to visit the Pandavas. After the Pandavas had completed their first incognito exile, Lord Krishna went with Satyaki and other Yadus to see the Pandavas in Indraprastha. The Pandavas greeted Krishna and embraced him in great ecstasy. Their new bride, Draupadi, shyly approached Krishna and bowed down to him. Then the Pandavas properly worshipped and welcomed Satyaki and Krishna's other companions by offering them sitting places. Lord Krishna then paid a visit to Queen Kunti, and after Krishna had offered Kunti respects, they inquired from each other about their family members. As Kunti Devi recalled the various miseries Duryodhana had inflicted upon her and her sons, Kunti remarked that Krishna was their only protector. "My Lord, you are the well-wisher of the entire universe. Yet, even though you are free from all delusion of mine and another's, you nonetheless reside within the hearts of those who meditate upon you constantly, and from within their hearts you destroy all their miseries." Then Yudhisthira told Krishna, "Only because we executed many pious acts, we are now able to see your lotus feet, which even great yogis find it impossible to attain." Having been honored by King Yudhisthira, Sri Krishna happily remained as a guest in Indraprastha for several months. Then one day, Krishna and Arjuna went hunting in the forest. While bathing in the Yamuna River, they saw a charming young maiden. Upon Krishna's request, Arjuna went up to the girl, asking who she was. And the beautiful maiden replied, "I am Kalindi, the daughter of the sun god. Hoping to attain Lord Vishnu as my husband, I have been performing severe austerities. I will accept no one else as my husband, and until Lord Vishnu marries me, I will remain in this Yamuna, living in the house my father built for me here." After Arjuna reported all of this to Krishna, the omniscient Lord took Kalindi onto his chariot, and the three of them then returned to the residence of Yudhisthira. Later, the Pandavas requested Krishna to build them a city, and Krishna did so by having Vishvakarma, the architect of the demigods, construct a city that was extremely attractive. Krishna satisfied his beloved devotees, remaining with them for some time. Then, to please Agni, the fire god, Krishna arranged to offer Agni the Kandava forest. Krishna asked Arjuna to burn down the forest and accompanied Arjuna as his chariot driver. Agni was so satisfied with the offering that Agni presented Arjuna with the Gandiva bowl. He also gave him a team of horses, a chariot, two inexhaustible quivers, and armor. And while the Kandava forest burned, Arjuna saved a demon named Maya from the blaze. Maya Danava reciprocated by building Arjuna a splendid palace. In this very building, Duryodhan would later get a good drenching after mistaking the surface of a pond for a solid floor, thus embarrassing himself. Next, Lord Krishna took permission from Arjuna and other relatives and went back to Dwaraka with his entourage. There, Krishna married Kalindi. Sometime later, Krishna went to Avantipur, where in the presence of many kings, Krishna abducted the king of Avanti's sister, Mitravinda, who was very much attracted to Krishna. In the kingdom of Ayodhya lived a devout king named Nagnajit. Nagnajit had an extraordinarily beautiful, marriageable daughter named Satya, or Nagnajiti. The girl's relatives had laid down the stipulation that any man who could subdue a certain group of 7 ferocious bulls would win her hand. And when Krishna heard about this princess, he went to Ayodhya with a large contingent of soldiers. King Nagnajit greeted Krishna hospitably and joyfully worshipped Krishna with various offerings. When Satya saw Krishna, immediately she desired Krishna to be her husband, and King Nagnajit, understanding his daughter's intentions, informed Lord Krishna of his own wish that Krishna and his daughter be married. The king affectionately told Krishna, "You alone would be a most suitable husband for my daughter. And if you can subdue the 7 bulls, then you may certainly marry her." Lord Krishna then manifested himself in 7 separate forms and subdued the 7 bulls. King Nagnajit duly presented his daughter to Krishna together with a dowry of abundant gifts. And Krishna took Satya onto his chariot for the journey back to Dwaraka. Just then, the rival kings, who had been defeated by the bulls previously, tried to attack Lord Krishna. But Arjuna easily beat them back, and Krishna proceeded with Nagnajiti to Dwaraka. Subsequently, Sri Krishna married Bhadra after abducting her from her Swayamvara ceremony, and Krishna also married Lakshmana, the royal daughter of the king of Madra. Chapter 59. This chapter tells how Lord Krishna killed Naraka Asura, the son of the earth goddess, and also married the thousands of maidens the demon had kidnapped. This chapter also describes how Krishna stole the Parijata tree from heaven, and how Krishna behaved like an ordinary householder in each of his palaces. After Naraka Asura stole Lord Varuna's umbrella, Mother Aditi's earrings, and the playground of the demigods known as Maniparvata, Lord Indra went to Dwaraka to see Krishna and to describe the demon's transgressions. Together with Queen Satyabhama, Krishna mounted his carrier Garuda and traveled to the capital of Naraka Asura's kingdom. On a field outside of the city, Krishna decapitated the demon Mura with his Sudarshana disc. Then Krishna fought Mura's 7 sons and sent them all to the abode of death, after which Naraka Asura himself entered the battlefield on the back of an elephant. Naraka threw his Shakti lance at Sri Krishna, but the weapon proved ineffective, and then Krishna cut the demon's entire army to pieces. Finally, with his sharp-edged Sudarshana disc, Krishna cut off Naraka Asura's head. Prithivi, the earth goddess, then approached Lord Krishna and gave him the various items Naraka Asura had stolen. She offered prayers to Krishna and presented Naraka's frightened son at Lord Krishna's lotus feet. After pacifying the demon's son, Krishna entered Naraka Asura's palace, where Krishna found 16,100 young women. As soon as they caught sight of Krishna, they all decided to accept him as their husband. Krishna sent them all to Dwaraka, along with a great quantity of treasure, and then Krishna went with Queen Satyabhama to the abode of Indra. There, Krishna returned Aditi's earrings, and Indra and his wife Sachi Devi worshipped Krishna. Upon Satyabhama's request, Lord Krishna uprooted the heavenly Parijata tree and put it on the back of Garuda. After defeating Indra and the other demigods who opposed Krishna's taking of the Parijata tree, Krishna returned to Dwaraka with Queen Satyabhama, where Krishna planted the tree in a garden adjacent to the palace of Satyabhama. Indra had originally come to Lord Krishna offering obeisances and begging Krishna to kill Narakasura. But afterwards, when Indra's business had been accomplished, Indra quarreled with Krishna. As such, the demigods are prone to anger because they become intoxicated with pride in their opulences. The infallible Supreme Lord manifested himself in 16,100 separate forms and married each of the 16,100 brides in a different temple. Krishna took up the required activities of householder life just like an ordinary person, accepting various kinds of service from each of his many wives. Chapter 60. This chapter describes how Lord Krishna provoked anger in Queen Rukmini with joking words and then consoled Rukmini, thus demonstrating the opulence of a lover's quarrel. One day, Lord Krishna sat at ease in Queen Rukmini's bedroom while she and her maidservants attended to Krishna in various ways. Rukmini always responded to Sri Krishna's moods, whatever they might be. But on this occasion, Krishna looked at Rukmini, whose beauty was faultless, and began to tease her. Previously, many wealthy kings worthy of you in their appearance and character wanted to marry you. In fact, your father and brother intended to give you in marriage to Shishupal. So why then did you accept such an unsuitable husband as me, who once renounced his own kingdom and fled to the sea in fear of Jarasandha? Besides, I transgress worldly morality, and because I own nothing, I am dear to other paupers. And certainly, the well-to-do would not worship one such as me. When a man and woman share the same social class, influence, physical beauty, and so on, marriage or friendship can flourish between them. But out of short-sightedness, you have accepted a husband who lacks every good quality and who is glorified only by beggars. Better you had married some prominent warrior, then you might have been happy in this life and the next. Your brother Rukmi and kings like Shishupal, they all hate me. And it was only to cut down their pride that I kidnapped you. But as for such things as body, home, wife, and children, why, I'm indifferent to them, being the self-satisfied personality of Godhead and transcendental to all material affairs. Sri Krishna then stopped speaking, having destroyed Queen Rukmini's confidence that she was her husband's favorite wife. Rukmini began to cry, and soon Rukmini became stunned in extreme fear, pain, and sadness, and fell unconscious. Lord Krishna then saw that Rukmini had misunderstood his joking, and thus Krishna felt compassion for Rukmini. And so, Krishna picked Rukmini up from the floor and, caressing her face, consoled her as follows. I know you are totally attached to me. It was only out of eagerness to see your lotus face adorned with a frown, that I teased you, because to joke with one's beloved is the highest enjoyment for the householder. These words from Krishna dispelled Rukmini's fear of rejection. And now, seeing that Krishna had spoken only in jest, Rukmini gave her reply, "O Lord, what you have said about the two of us being mismatched is actually true. After all, no one is equal to you. You, the omnipotent master of the three principal deities, Brahma, Vishnu, and Shiva." Rukmini then went on to show how everything Krishna had said, denigrating himself, was actually glorification. Lord Krishna then spoke to Rukmini with deep affection. "I did not intend to agitate your mind with my joking words. Rather, I wanted to demonstrate the strength of your chastity. Anyone who prays to me for sense gratification and happiness in family life is simply deluded by my illusory energy, Maya. Such a person will take a low birth. Ordinary women with corrupt desires cannot possibly worship me faithfully as you have done. Why, at the time of your marriage, you showed no interest in any of the other royal suitors. Rather, you sent a Brahmana messenger just for me. Thus you are certainly the most beloved of all my consorts." In this way, Jagannath, the Lord of the universe, took pleasure in joking with the goddess of fortune in her form as Rukmini. And in a similar fashion, Krishna fulfilled all the duties of a householder in each palace of his other queens. Chapter 61. This chapter lists Lord Sri Krishna's sons, grandsons, and other progeny. And it also describes how Lord Balaram killed Rukmi at the marriage ceremony of Aniruddha. And it describes how Lord Krishna arranged for his sons and daughters to be married. Not understanding the full truth about Sri Krishna, each of his wives thought that since Krishna remained constantly in her palace, she must be his favorite wife. They were all entranced by Krishna's beauty and loving conversations with them, but they could not agitate Krishna's mind with the charming gestures of their eyebrows or by any other means. Having attained as their husband Lord Sri Krishna, whom even demigods like Lord Brahma find it difficult to know in truth, Krishna's queens were always eager to associate with him. Thus, although each of the queens had millions of maidservants, they would personally render Krishna menial service. Each of Lord Krishna's 16,000 wives had 10 sons, who in turn each fathered many sons and grandsons. In the womb of Rukmi's daughter, Rukmavati, Pradyumna fathered Aniruddha. Though Sri Krishna had disrespected Rukmi, just to please his sister, Rukmi gave his daughter in marriage to Pradyumna, and his granddaughter he gave to Aniruddha. Bali, the son of Kritavarma, married Rukmini's daughter Charumati. At Aniruddha's wedding, Lord Baladev, Sri Krishna, and other Yadavas went to Rukmi's palace in the city of Bojakata. After the ceremony, Rukmi challenged Lord Baladev to a game of dice. In the first match, Rukmi defeated Baladev, whereupon the king of Kalinga laughed at Balaram, displaying all his teeth. Lord Baladev won the next match, but Rukmi refused to concede defeat. A voice then spoke from the sky, announcing that Baladev had in fact won the match. But Rukmi, encouraged by the wicked kings, offended Lord Baladev, saying that while Balaram was certainly expert at tending cows, Balaram knew nothing about playing dice. Thus insulted, Lord Baladev angrily struck Rukmi dead with his club. The king of Kalinga tried to flee, but Lord Baladev seized him, knocking out all of his teeth. Then the other offensive kings, their arms, thighs, and heads wounded by Baladev's blows from his club, fled in all directions, bleeding profusely. But Sri Krishna expressed neither approval nor disapproval of his brother-in-law's death, because Krishna feared that taking either side would jeopardize his loving ties with Rukmini or Baladev. Lord Baladev and the other Yadavas then seated Aniruddha and his bride on a fine chariot, and they all set off for Dwaraka. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. All glories to Krishna Book. All glories to Srila Prabhupada.